Mr. Jordan made me super uncomfortable. Neither of the girls seemed to think this was an acceptable answer. Hey, why did Ocean follow you out the other day? What was that about? Leilani again. Now I was truly stunned. I couldn't begin to imagine why they cared about any of this. I hadn't even realized Leilani knew who Ocean was. This class was an elective, so there was flexibility in the roster. We weren't all in the same grade. Leilani and Shauna, for example, were juniors. I don't know, I said. I guess he felt bad. Shauna was about to ask me another question when Mr. Jordan clapped his hands together hard and called out a greeting. All right, everyone, we're switching things up today. Mr. Jordan was dancing the cha-cha in front of the room. He was so weird. I laughed, and he stopped, caught my eye. He smiled and said, Good to see you again, Shireen. And people turned to stare at me. I stopped laughing. So, he said. He was speaking to the class again. Are you guys ready for this? He paused for just a second before he said, New groups. Everyone stand up. The class groaned loudly, and I agreed with the collective sentiment. I definitely didn't want to meet any more new people. I hated meeting new people. But I also understood that this was kind of the point. So I sighed, resigned, as Mr. Jordan started sorting us into new clusters. I ended up across the room, sitting with three new girls, and we all avoided looking at each other for a few minutes. Hey, I turned, startled. Ocean was sitting, not next to me exactly, but near me, in a different group. He was leaning back in his chair. He smiled, but his eyes looked wary, a little worried. Hi, I said. Hi, he said. He had a pencil behind his ear. I didn't think people actually did that, but he currently had an actual pencil behind his ear. It was so cute. He was so cute. You dropped this, he said, and held out a small folded piece of paper. I eyed the paper in his hand. I was pretty sure I hadn't dropped anything, but then again, who knew? I took it from him, and just like that, the worry in his eyes warmed into something else. I felt my heart speed up. Has anyone else figured out that you're always listening to music in class? Are you listening to music right now? How do you listen to music all the time without failing all your classes? Why did you delete your AIM profile that first time we talked? I have so many questions. I looked back at him surprised, and he smiled so hard he almost laughed. He looked very pleased with himself. I shook my head, but I was smiling too, and then I deliberately pulled the iPod out of my pocket and hit play. When I turned back around in my seat, I nearly jumped out of my skin. The three other girls in my cluster were now staring blankly at me, looking possibly more confused by my existence than I'd expected. "Don't forget to introduce yourselves," Mr. Jordan bellowed. "Names are important." And then he picked up the large mason jar that sat on his desk every day and said, "Today's topic is..." He pulled a piece of paper out of the jar, read it. "The Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This one should be really good," he said. "Hamas. Terrorism. Is Iran complicit? Talking points will be on the board. Have fun." I dropped my head onto my desk. It will probably surprise no one to hear that I was terrible at ignoring Ocean. I pretended really hard to appear uninterested in him, but that's all it was. I was just really good at pretending. I denied myself permission to think about him, which somehow made it so that I thought about him all the time. I noticed him too much now. He seemed to be everywhere suddenly. So much so that I started wondering if maybe I was wrong. If maybe it wasn't mere coincidence that kept bringing us together. Maybe, instead, he'd always been there. And maybe I'd only just begun to see him. It was like when Navid bought that Nissan Sentra. Before Navid got the car, I'd never ever noticed one of them on the road before. Now I saw old Nissan Sentras everywhere. This whole thing was stressing me out. I felt nervous, even just sitting in the same class with him. Our work in bio had become more difficult than ever, simply because I was trying to dislike him, and it wasn't working. He was almost bionically likable. He had this really calming presence that always made me feel like, I don't know, like I could let my guard down when I was with him, which somehow only made me more nervous. I thought being quiet, speaking only when I absolutely had to, would help diffuse whatever tension existed between us, but it only seemed to make things more intense. When we didn't talk, some invisible lever was still winding a coil between our bodies. In some ways, my silence was more telling than anything else. It was a breathless sort of standoff. I kept trying to break away, and I couldn't. Today, it was now Monday. I only made it through 30 minutes of ignoring Ocean in bio. I was tapping my pencil against a blank page in my notebook, avoiding the dead cat between us, and instead trying to think of things to hate about him, when Ocean turned to me, apropos of nothing, and said, "Hey, am I saying your name right?" I was so surprised, I sat up, stared at him. "No," I said. "What? Are you serious?" He laughed, but he looked upset. "Why didn't you tell me?" I shrugged, turned back to my notebook. "No one ever says my name right." "Well, I'd like to," he said. He touched my arm, and I looked up again. "How am I supposed to say it?" He'd been pronouncing my name Shireen, which is better than most people. Most people had been saying it in two hard syllables, Shireen, which was very wrong. It was actually pronounced Shireen. I tried to explain this to him. I tried to tell him that he had to roll the R, that the whole thing was meant to be pronounced softly, gently even. Ocean tried several times to say it correctly, and I was genuinely touched, a little amused. "It sounds so pretty," he said. "What does it mean?" I laughed. I didn't want to tell him, so I shook my head. "What?" he said. His eyes widened. "Is it bad?" "No," I sighed. "It means sweet. I just think it's funny. I think my parents were hoping for a different kind of kid." "What do you mean?" "I mean no one has ever accused me of being sweet." Ocean laughed. He shrugged slowly. "I don't know," he said. "I guess you're not sweet exactly, but..." He hesitated, picked up his pencil, rolled it between his hands. "You're just like..." He stopped, sighed. He wouldn't look at me. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I definitely wanted to know what he was thinking, but I didn't want him to know that I wanted to know what he was thinking, so I just sat there, waiting. "You're so strong," he said finally. He was still staring at his pencil. "You don't seem to be afraid of anything." I didn't know what I'd been hoping he'd say exactly, but I was surprised. So surprised, in fact, that I was rendered for a moment speechless. I so rarely felt strong. Mostly, I felt scared. When he finally looked up, I was already staring at him. "I'm afraid of lots of things," I whispered. We'd just been looking at each other, hardly breathing, when suddenly the bell rang. I jumped up, feeling unexpectedly embarrassed, grabbed my things, and disappeared. He texted me that night. "What are you afraid of?" he wrote, but I didn't respond. I walked into bio the next day, prepared to make the Herculean effort to be an aloof, boring lab partner yet again, when the whole thing finally just fell apart, collapsed. Ocean ran into me. I don't know what happened exactly. He'd sidestepped too fast. Someone had been rushing between the lab tables with a sopping dead cat in their hands, and he'd slammed into me just as I was walking up. It was like something out of a movie. His body was hard and soft, and my hands flew up, found purchase around his back, and he caught me, wrapped his arms around me, said, "Oh, sorry," but we were still pressed together when instinct forced my head up, surprised, and I tried to speak, but instead my lips grazed his neck, and for 1 second, I could breathe him in, and he let go too fast, and I stumbled. He caught my hands, and I looked at him, his eyes wide, deep, scared, and I pulled back, broke the connection, reeling. It was the clumsiest production of physical interaction. The whole thing lasted no more than several seconds. I'm sure no one else even noticed it happen. But I saw him touch his neck where my mouth had been. I felt my heart stutter when I remembered his arms around me. And neither of us spoke for the rest of the period. I grabbed my bag when the bell rang, ready to run for my life, when he said my name, and only the very basic rules of etiquette held me in place. My heart was racing, had been racing for an hour. I felt electric, like an overcharged battery. Things were sparking inside of me, and I needed to go away, get away from him, Sitting next to him all through class had been profound and excruciating. I'd had many unimportant, insignificant crushes on boys before. I'd had pathetic daydreams and silly fantasies, and had devoted many pages in my journal to entirely forgettable people I'd known and quickly discarded over the years. But I had never, ever touched someone and felt like this, like I was holding electricity inside of me. "Hey," he said. It took a lot of effort to turn around, but I did. And when I did, he looked different, like maybe he was just as terrified as I was. "Hi," I said, but the word didn't make much sound. "Can we talk?" I shook my head. "I have to go." I watched him swallow, the Adam's apple moving up and down in his throat. He said, "Okay." But then he walked up to me, walked right up to me, and I felt something pop inside my head. Brain cells dying, probably. He wasn't looking at me. He was looking at the 2 inches of floor between us, and I thought maybe he was going to say something, but he didn't. He just stood there, and I watched the gentle motions of his chest as he breathed, in and out, up and down, and I felt a faint spinning in my head, and like my body had overheated, and my heart would not stop, could not stop racing, and finally he whispered the words, without touching me, without even looking at me. He said, "I just need to know," he said. "Are you feeling this too?" He looked up then, looked me in the eye. I didn't say anything. I couldn't remember how, but he must have found something in my eyes, because he suddenly exhaled, softly. He glanced, just once, at my lips, and he stepped back, grabbed his bag, and left. I wasn't sure I would ever recover. 17. I was a complete idiot at practice. I couldn't remember how to do simple things. I kept thinking about the fact that Ocean and I had only touched by accident. And what if we'd touched on purpose? And wow, I wondered if my head would just explode. I also kept thinking that I didn't want to get my heart broken. I didn't know what could ever come of this, of us, or how we'd ever navigate these murky waters, and I didn't know what to do. I felt like I'd lost control. Suddenly, all I could think about was kissing him. I'd never kissed anyone before. A boy had been dared to kiss me once, and he'd kissed me on the cheek, and it was not repugnant, exactly, but the whole thing had been so awkward that even the memory bothered me. I was, in this regard, woefully underprepared. I knew my brother had kissed lots of girls. I didn't know what else he'd done, and I didn't ask. In fact, I'd had to tell him to shut up about it several times already, because for some reason he always felt comfortable sharing these details with me. I think my parents had known about his many relationships, but I also think they were happy to pretend they didn't. I was also pretty sure my parents would have had simultaneous heart attacks if they knew I was even thinking about kissing a boy, which surprisingly did not at all factor into my considerations. There was nothing about the idea of kissing Ocean that felt wrong to me. I just didn't see how kissing him would help anything. Just then, my brother threw his water bottle at me. I looked up. "You okay?" he said. "You look sick." I felt sick, like maybe I had a fever. I was sure I didn't, but it was weird how hot my skin felt. I wanted to climb into bed and hide. "Yeah," I said. "I feel kind of weird. Do you mind if I cut out early? Head home?" My brother came forward, collected his bottle, pressed a hand against my forehead. His eyes widened. "Yeah, I'll take you home," he said. "Really?" He looked suddenly annoyed. "You think I'd let my sister walk home with a fever?" "I don't have a fever." "Yeah," he said, "you do." He wasn't wrong. I'd gotten home earlier than usual, so my mom and dad weren't back from work yet. Navid brought me water, gave me medicine, and tucked me into bed. I didn't feel sick, though. I just felt strange, and I didn't know how to explain it. There was nothing apparently wrong with me except that my temperature had spiked. Still, I slept. When I awoke, the house was dark. I felt woozy. I blinked and looked around, parched, and grabbed the bottle of water Navid had left me. I drained the bottle, rested my hot head against the cool wall, and wondered what the hell had happened to me. Only then did I notice my phone on my bedside table. I had 5 unread messages. The first 2 were from 6 hours ago. Hey, how was practice? There were 3 more messages sent 10 minutes ago. I checked the time. It was 2 in the morning. You're probably asleep. But if you're not, will you call me? I'm sorry for using up all of your text messages. I wasn't sure I was in the right headspace to call anyone at the moment, but I didn't think it through. I pulled up his number, called him right away, and then I burrowed under my covers, pulling the sheet up over my head to help muffle my voice. I didn't want to have to explain to my parents why I was wasting precious phone minutes talking to a boy at 2 in the morning. I had no idea what I'd say. Ocean picked up on the first ring, which made me wonder if maybe he was hiding from his mom, too. But then he said, "Hi," out loud, like a normal person. And I realized that no, it was just me whose parents were up her ass all the time. "Hi," I whispered. "I'm hiding under my covers." He laughed.
"Why?"
"Everyone is asleep," I said quietly. "My mom and dad would kill me if they found me on my phone this late. Also, minutes are expensive." He said, "Sorry," but he didn't sound sorry. "I have a fever, by the way. I've been in bed this whole time," I explained. "I just woke up and saw your messages."
"What?"
he said, alarmed.
"What happened?"
"I don't know."
"Do you feel okay now?"
"I feel a little weird, but I'm okay, I think." He was quiet just a beat too long. "You still there?" I said.
"Yeah, I didn't think about it until you said it, but I haven't been feeling great either."
"Really?"
"Yeah," he said.
I felt my head sparking again. "Can we please talk about this?" His voice was soft but scared. "I know you've been avoiding me, but I don't know why. And if we don't talk about this, I don't..."
"Talk about what?"
"Us," he said, the word a little breathless.
"Us. God, I want to talk about us. I can't even think straight around you."
And then, "I don't know what's happening anymore." I felt my mind slow down even as my heart sped up. An awful, wonderful nervousness seized me around the throat. I felt paralyzed. I wanted so desperately to say something, but I didn't know what to say, how to say it, or whether I should even bother. I couldn't seem to decide. I was suddenly overthinking everything, and we'd been lost in the silence for several seconds, when he finally said,
"Is it just me? Am I imagining this?"
The sound of his voice broke my heart. I had no idea how Ocean could be this brave. I had no idea how he could make himself this vulnerable. There were no games with him. There were no confusing, meandering statements with him. He just put himself out there, his heart exposed directly to the elements. And wow, I respected him for it. But it scared me so much. In fact, I was beginning to wonder whether my fever wasn't simply a consequence of this, of him, of this whole situation. Because the more he spoke, the more delirious I felt. I felt my head swimming, my mind slowly evaporating. I closed my eyes.
"Ocean," I finally whispered.
"Yes?" I stopped, tried to steady my head. I could hear him breathing. I could feel him waiting for something, anything. And I could feel my heart ripping open, and I realized there was no point lying about this. I thought he deserved to know the truth, at least.
"You're not imagining it," I said.
I heard his hard exhale. When he spoke, his voice was a little rough.
"I'm not?"
"No, you're not. I feel it too." Neither of us said anything for a while. We just sat there in the silence, listening to each other breathe.
"So why are you pushing me away?" he said finally. "What are you afraid of?"
"This," I said. My eyes were still closed. "I'm afraid of this. There's nowhere for this to go," I said to him. "There's no future here."
"Why not?" he said. "Because of your parents? Because I'm some random white guy?"
My eyes flew open and I laughed, but it made a sad sound.
"No," I said. "Not because of my parents. I mean, it's true that my parents wouldn't approve of you, yeah, but not because you're a white guy. My parents wouldn't approve of any guy, I said. In general, it's not just you. Anyway, I don't even care about that, I sighed hard. It's not because of that. Then why? I was quiet for too long, but he didn't push me to speak. He didn't say a word. He just waited. Finally, I broke open the silence. You're a really nice person, I said to him. But you don't know how complicated something like this would be. You don't know how different your life would be with me, I said. You just don't know. What do you mean? I mean the world is really awful, Ocean. People are super racist. Ocean was quiet for a full second before he finally said, stunned, That's what you're worried about? Yes, I said quietly. Yes. Well, I don't care what other people think. My head was overheating again. I felt unsteady. Listen, he said softly. This doesn't have to be anything serious. I just want to get to know you better. I accidentally ran into you, and I haven't been able to breathe straight for hours, he said, his voice tight again. I feel kind of crazy. I just want to know what this is, he said finally. I just want to know what's happening right now. My heart was beating too hard, too fast. I whispered, I've been feeling the same way. You have? Yes, I said softly. He took a deep breath. He sounded nervous. Can we maybe just spend some time together? He said. Outside of school? Maybe somewhere far, far away from our disgusting lab assignment? I laughed. I felt a little dizzy. Is that a yes? I sighed. I wanted so badly to just say yes. Instead, I said, Maybe. But no marriage proposals, okay? I get too many of those as it is. You're making jokes right now? Ocean laughed. You're like breaking my heart and you're making jokes right now? Wow. Yeah, I sighed. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was smiling. Wait, what did that yeah mean? Is that a yes to hanging out with me?
Sure.
Sure?
Yes, I whispered. I'd really like to hang out with you.
I felt at once nervous and happy and terrified, but I could feel my temperature spiking again. I really felt like I might pass out. But I should go, I said. I'll call you later, okay?
Okay, he said.
Okay. We hung up. And I didn't get out of bed for 3 days. 18. I was basically immobile the rest of the week. The fever finally broke on Friday, but my mom still made me stay home. I tried to tell her I was fine, that I had no other symptoms, but she didn't listen. I'd never developed a cold. I had no aches and pains in my body. I felt nothing but the heat in my head. I felt a bit like my brain had been steamed. Ocean had texted me, but I'd had so few moments of clarity that I never got around to texting him back. I figured he'd find out, one way or another, that I was still sick, but I never imagined he'd seek out my brother. Naveed came to visit me on Friday, after school. He sat down on my bed and flicked me in the forehead. Stop, I mumbled. I turned, buried my face in the pillow. Your boyfriend was looking for you today. I turned back so fast I nearly snapped my neck. Excuse me? You heard what I said. He's not my boyfriend. Naveed raised his eyebrows. Well, I don't know what you did to this kid who was apparently not your boyfriend, he said, but I'm pretty sure he's in love with you. Shut up, I said, and turned my face back into the pillow. I'm not kidding. I flipped him off without looking. Whatever, Naveed said. You don't have to believe me. I just thought you should know. He's worried. Maybe you should call him. Now I frowned. I readjusted slowly, folding a pillow under my neck, and stared at my brother. Are you for real right now? Naveed shrugged. You're not threatening to kick his ass, I said. You're telling me to call him? I feel bad for the guy. He seems nice. I laughed. Okay. I'm serious, Naveed said, and stood up. And I'm only going to give you one piece of advice, okay? So listen closely. I rolled my eyes. If you're not interested, he said, tell him now.
What? What are you talking about?
Navid shook his head.
Just don't be mean.
I'm not mean. My brother was already at the door when he left. Hard.
You were brutal, he said.
And I don't want to see this dude get his heart shattered all over the place, okay? He seems so innocent. He clearly has no idea what he's getting himself into.
I stared at Navid, dumbfounded.
Promise me, he said. Okay? If you don't like him, let him go.
But I did like him. The problem wasn't knowing whether or not I liked him. The problem was that I didn't want to like him. I could already see the future. I could imagine us going out somewhere, anywhere, and someone saying something awful to me. I could imagine his paralysis. I could imagine the awkwardness that would wash over us both. How we tried to pretend it hadn't happened, even as I was filled slowly with mortification. I knew how such an experience would inevitably make him self-conscious about spending time with me. How he'd one day realize he didn't want to be seen with me in public. I could see him introducing me to the people in his world. See their thinly veiled disgust and or disapproval. See how being with me would make him realize that his own friends were closet racists. That his parents were happy to make general pleasantries with the non-conforming among us, so long as we never tried to kiss their children. Being with me would puncture Ocean's safe, comfortable bubble. Everything about me, my face, my fashion, had become political. There was a time when my presence only confused people. I used to be just a regular weirdo, the kind of unfathomable entity that was easily disregarded, easily discarded. But one day, in the aftermath of a terrible tragedy, I'd woken up in the spotlight. It didn't matter that I was just as shaken and horrified as everyone else. No one believed my grief. People I'd never met were suddenly accusing me of murder. Strangers would scream at me in the street, at school, in the grocery store, at gas stations and restaurants to go home. Go home. Go back to Afghanistan, you camel-fucking terrorist. I wanted to tell them I lived down the block. I wanted to tell them I'd never been to Afghanistan. I wanted to tell them I'd only met a camel once, on a trip to Canada, and that the camel was infinitely kinder than the humans I'd met. But it never mattered what I said anymore. People talked over me. They talked for me. They discussed me without ever asking my opinion. I'd become a talking point, a statistic. I was no longer free to be only a teenager, only a human, only flesh and blood. No, I had to be more than that. I was an outrage, an uncomfortable topic of conversation. And already I knew that this, whatever this was with Ocean, could only end in tears. So I didn't call him. 19. I didn't think I was doing the right thing by ignoring him again. I really didn't. I just didn't know what else to do. I didn't have all the answers. I cared about Ocean, and in my own confusing way, I was trying to protect him. I was trying to protect the both of us. I wanted to go back to being acquaintances. I wanted us to be kind to each other and call it a day. We were 16, I thought. This would pass. Ocean would go to prom with a nice girl with an easily pronounced name, and I would move on, literally, when my dad inevitably got a higher-paying job elsewhere and would announce, proudly, that we'd be moving to an even better city, a better neighborhood, a better future. It would be fine, or something akin to fine. The only trouble with my plan, of course, was that Ocean did not agree with it. I showed up to Mr. Jordan's class on Monday, but I almost certainly failed that particular session because I said nothing all period, and for two reasons. One, I was still getting over the inexplicable heat in my head, and two, I was trying not to draw attention to myself. I didn't look at Ocean in class. I didn't look at anyone. I pretended not to pay attention because I hoped that Ocean would take the hint and stop talking to me. It was a stupid plan. I'd only just escaped the classroom, and I was darting down a deserted corridor when he found me. He caught my arm, and I turned around. He looked nervous, a little pale. I wondered what I looked like to him. "Hi," he whispered. "Hi," I said. He still hadn't let go of me. His fingers were wrapped around my forearm like a loose bracelet. I stared at his hand. I didn't actually want him to let go.
but when he saw me staring, he startled, dropped my arm. "I'm sorry," he said.
"For what?"
"For whatever I did," he said. "I did something wrong, didn't I? I messed something up." My heart sank, flatlined. He was so nice. He was so nice, and he was making this so hard.
"You didn't do anything wrong," I said. "I promise."
"No?" But he still looked nervous. I shook my head. "I really have to go to class, okay?" I turned to go, and he said my name like a question. I looked back. He stepped closer.
"Can we talk? At lunch?"
I studied his eyes, the pain he was trying to hide, and I realized then that things had gone too far. I'd let things get too far, and now I couldn't just ignore him and hope he would go away. I couldn't be that cruel. No. I'd actually have to tell him, in clear, focused sentences, what was about to happen. That we needed to stop this, whatever it was. So I said okay. I told him where my tree was. I told him to meet me there. The thing I had no way of anticipating, of course, was that someone else would already be waiting for me. Yusuf was leaning against my tree. Yusuf. Wow, I'd nearly forgotten about Yusuf. I still thought he was a really good-looking guy, and I'd be lying if I said I hadn't wondered about him once or twice in the last couple of weeks, but for the most part, he'd slipped my mind. I had no reason to keep thinking about him, because I so rarely saw him around school, and I had no idea what he was doing here. I wanted him to leave, but Ocean hadn't yet arrived, and I was already nervous enough about the conversation we were about to have. I didn't want to have to deal with asking Yusuf to go somewhere else, too. Plus, it didn't seem fair for me to lay claim to public property. So I pulled out my phone, made a sharp left, and started texting Ocean to meet me elsewhere. Yusuf called my name. I looked back, surprised, the unfinished text message still unsent.
"Yeah?
Where are you going?" He walked over. He was smiling. Maybe on a different day, at a different time, I would have been interested in his smile. Today, I was far too distracted.
"I'm sorry," I said. "I'm looking for someone."
"Oh," he said, and followed my gaze. I was squinting out toward the quad, where most of the student body gathered for lunch every day. The quad was, as a result, a place I nearly always avoided, so I didn't really know what I was searching for as I looked around. But Yusuf was still talking, and I was suddenly annoyed, which wasn't fair. Yusuf couldn't have known the deep preoccupation of my mind. Nothing he'd said to me was offensive. It wasn't even unwelcome. It was just bad timing. "I wanted to come back and check on my tree," he was saying. "I was hoping you'd be here."
"That's nice," I said, still frowning into the distance. Yusuf tilted his head into my line of sight.
"Anything I can do to help?"
"No," I said. "I just..."
"Hey."
I spun around. My sudden relief was replaced in an instant by apprehension. Ocean had arrived, but he looked confused. He was staring at Yusuf, who was standing too close to me. I put 5 feet between us.
"Hey," I said, and tried to smile. Ocean turned in my direction, but he still seemed uncertain.
"This is who you were looking for?"
Yusuf again. He sounded surprised. It took a concerted effort to keep from telling Yusuf to go away, that this was obviously a bad time for small talk, that he clearly had no idea how to read social cues.
"Hey man, what's going on?"
Yusuf said, the question almost like a statement, and reached forward to shake Ocean's hand. Except he didn't shake it, exactly. He did that thing that guys do sometimes, when they pull each other in and do a kind of hug-slap.
"You know Shirin?" he said.
"Small world."
Ocean allowed the gesture, accepting Yusuf's friendly bro-hug involuntarily, and I was guessing only because he was a nice, polite person. His eyes, however, looked almost angry. Ocean didn't say a word to Yusuf, didn't offer an answer or an explanation.
"Hey, I said. I need to talk to my friend alone, okay? We're going to go somewhere."
"Oh, okay," Yusuf said. "I'll be quick then. I just wanted to know if you'll be fasting next week. My family always throws a massive iftar on the first night, and you and your brother, and your parents, if they're up for it, are welcome to come."
"What the hell?
How did you know I have a brother?" Yusuf frowned. "Navid is in most of my classes.
I put two and two together after the last time we talked. He didn't tell you?
Okay, I glanced at Ocean, who looked suddenly like he'd been punched in the gut.
Yeah, I'll have Navid get in touch with you. I have to go. I only vaguely remembered saying a proper goodbye after that. Mostly I remembered the look on Ocean's face as we walked away. He looked betrayed. I told Ocean I didn't know where to go, that I wanted to speak with him somewhere quiet and private, but the library was the only place I could think of, and you're not allowed to talk in there, not really. And he said, "My car is in the parking lot." That was all he said. I followed him to his car in silence, and it wasn't until we were sitting inside, doors closed on our own little world, that he looked at me and said, "Are you?" He sighed and turned suddenly away, studied the floor. "Are you dating that guy, Yusuf?"
"What?
No." He looked up. "No, I'm not dating anyone." "Oh." His shoulders slumped. We were sitting in the back seat of his car, facing each other, and he leaned against the door behind him, rested his head against the window. He looked worn out. He ran a hand down the length of his face, and finally, he said, "What happened? What happened between now and the last time we talked?" "I think maybe I had too much time to think about it." He looked heartbroken. There was no other way to put it, and he sounded heartbroken when he said, "You don't want to be with me." Ocean was so straightforward. Everything about him felt honest and decent, and I really admired him for it. But right now, his honesty was making this conversation harder than it needed to be. I'd had a plan. I'd had it all worked out in my head. I'd hoped to tell a story, paint a picture, illustrate very, very clearly why this whole thing was doomed, and why we should avoid hurtling toward the inevitable and painful dissolution of whatever it was we were building here. But all my carefully thought-out reasons felt suddenly small, stupid, impossible to articulate. Looking into his eyes had flipped tables in my head. My thoughts were now tangled and disorganized, and I didn't know how else to do this but to throw my feelings at him in no particular order. Still, I was taking too long. I was silent for too long. I was fumbling. Ocean sat up, sat forward. He leaned in and I felt my chest tighten. I could suddenly smell him, his particular, familiar scent, everywhere. I was sitting in his car, I realized, and it had only just occurred to me to look around, to get a sense of where we were, who he was. I wanted to catalog the moment, capture it in words and pictures. I wanted to remember this. I wanted to remember him. I'd never wanted to remember anyone before. "Hey," he said, but he said it softly. I don't know what he saw in my face, what he'd caught in my eyes or in my expression, but he seemed suddenly different. Like maybe he'd realized that I'd fallen hard, and that this wasn't easy for me, that I didn't actually want to walk away. I met his eyes. He touched my cheek, his fingers grazing my skin, and I gasped. Leaned back. It was unexpected. I overreacted. I was suddenly breathing too hard, my head full of fire again. "I'm sorry," I said. "I can't do this."
"Why not?"
"Because," I said.
"Because."
"Because why?"
"Because it won't work."
I was flustered. I sounded stupid.
"It just won't work."
"Isn't that up to us?" he said.
"Don't we have control over whether or not this works?"
I shook my head.
"It's not that simple. You don't get it. And it's not your fault that you don't get it," I said.
"But you just don't know what you don't know. You can't see it. You can't see how different your life would be, how being with me, spending time with someone like me..." I stopped, struggled for words.
"It would be hard for you," I said.
"With your friends, your family.
Why are you so sure that I care what other people think?"
"You're going to care," I said.
"No, I won't. I already don't."
"You say that now," I said, shaking my head. "But you don't know. You're going to care, Ocean. You're going to care."
"Why can't you let me decide what I'm going to care about?"
I was still shaking my head. I couldn't look at him.
"Listen to me," he said, and he took my hands, and I didn't realize until that exact moment that my own hands were shaking.
He squeezed my fingers, tugged me closer. My heart felt wild. Listen to me, he said again. I don't care what other people think. I don't care, okay?
You do, I said quietly.
You think you don't, but you do.
How can you say that?
Because, I said.
Because I always say that. I always say that I don't care what other people think. I say it doesn't bother me, that I don't give a shit about the opinions of assholes. But it's not true, I said, and my eyes stung as I said it. It's not true because it hurts every time, and that means I still care. It means I'm still not strong enough because every time someone says something rude, something racist, every time some mentally ill homeless person goes on a terrifying rampage when they see me crossing the street, it hurts. It never stops hurting. It only gets easier to recover. And you don't know what that's like, I said. You don't know what my life is like, and you don't know what it'd be like to become a part of it, to tell the universe you're on my side. I don't think you understand that you'd be making yourself a target. You'd be risking the happy, comfortable world you live in. I don't live in a happy, comfortable world, he said suddenly, and his eyes were bright, intense when he said it. And if the life I've got is supposed to be some example of happiness, then the world is even more messed up than I thought it was. Because I'm not happy, and I don't want to be like my parents. I don't want to be like everyone else I know. I want to choose how to live my own life, okay? I want to choose who to be with. I could only stare at him, my heart beating hard in my chest. Maybe you care about what other people think, he said, and his voice was softer now. And that's fine, but I really, truly don't.
Ocean, I whispered. Please.
He was still holding my hands, and he felt safe and real, and I didn't know how to tell him that I hadn't changed my mind, not even a little bit, and that the more he spoke, the more I felt my heart implode.
Please don't do this, he said. Please don't walk away from me because you're worried about the opinions of racists and assholes. Walk away from me because you hate me, he said. Tell me you think I'm stupid and ugly, and I swear this would hurt less.
I can't do that, I said. I think you're wonderful. He sighed. He wasn't looking at me when he said, That's not helping. I also think you have really beautiful eyes.
He looked up, surprised.
You do?
I nodded.
And he laughed, softly. He took my hands and pressed them against his chest, and he felt strong. I could feel his heart racing under my palms. I could feel the outline of his body under his shirt. And it made me a little dizzy.
Hey, he said.
I met his eyes. You don't have anything offensive you'd like to say to me? Maybe make me hate you a little bit? I shook my head.
I'm sorry, Ocean. I really am, for everything.
I just don't understand how you can be so sure, he said, and his eyes were sad again.
How can you be so sure that this won't work, that you won't even give it a chance?
Because I already know, I said. I already know what's going to happen.
He said, You don't know what's going to happen.
Yes, I said, I do. I already know how this story goes.
No, you think you do, but you have no idea what's about to happen.
Yes, I said, yes, I...
And he kissed me.
It wasn't the kind of thing I'd read about. It wasn't quick. It wasn't soft and simple. He kissed me. And I felt actual euphoria, like all my senses had merged, and I was reduced to breaths and heartbeats and repeating integers. It was nothing like I thought it would be. It was better. It was infinitely better. In fact, it may have been the best thing that had ever happened to me. I'd never done this before, but somehow I didn't need a manual. I collapsed into it, into him, and he parted my lips, and I loved it. I loved how he felt, how he tasted sweet and warm. And I felt delirious. I was pressed against the passenger door, and my hands were in his hair, and I wasn't thinking about anything. I was thinking about nothing, nothing but this, but the impossibility of this, when he broke away, gasping for air. He pressed his forehead against mine, and he said, Oh. He said, Wow. And I thought it was over, and he kissed me again, and again, and again. I heard the bell ring somewhere. I heard it like I was hearing sound for the first time. And then, suddenly, my mind was returned to me. It was like a sonic boom.
I sat up too fast. My eyes were wild. I was nearly hyperventilating.
Oh my God, I said. Oh my God, Ocean.
He kissed me again. I drowned. When we broke apart, we were both breathing hard, but he was staring at me, and he said, holy shit, but softly, like he was speaking only to himself. And I said, I have to go, I have to go. And he just looked at me, his mind not yet fully awake, and I grabbed my backpack and his eyes widened, suddenly alert, and he said, don't go.
I have to go, I said. The bell rang, I have to go to class.
This was obviously a lie. I didn't give a shit about class. I was just a coward, trying to run away. And I grabbed the handle, pushed the door open, and he said, no, wait. And I said, maybe we should just be friends, okay? And I jumped out of the car before he could kiss me again. I looked back just once and saw him staring at me through the window as I walked away. He looked stunned. And I knew I just made everything so much worse.
20. I ditched bio. Our time with the dead cat had officially come to an end. We'd be resuming regular bookwork for a while until we received our next lab assignment, but I still couldn't face it. I didn't know what I'd do if I saw him again. Things were still too raw. My body felt like it was now made entirely of nerves, like muscle and bone had been removed to make room for all this new emotion. Things between us had officially spiraled out of control. I'd been touching my lips all afternoon, confused and amazed, and a little suspicious that I'd imagined the whole thing. The heat in my head wouldn't abate. I had no idea what had happened in my life, but the insanity of the day only made me more anxious to get to practice. Breakdancing gave me focus and control. When I worked hard, I saw results. I liked how simple it was. Straightforward.
What the hell is going on with you?
This was how my brother said hello to me. I dropped my bag on the floor. Jacoby, Bijan, and Carlos were clustered in a far corner of the dance room, pretending not to stare at me.
What?
I said, trying to read their faces.
What's wrong?
Navid squeezed his eyes shut, opened them, looked up at the ceiling, ran both hands through his hair.
I told you to call him, he said. I didn't tell you to make out with him.
I felt suddenly paralyzed, horrified. Navid was shaking his head. Listen, he said.
I don't care, okay? I don't care about you kissing some dude. I never thought you were some kind of a saint.
But you have to be careful. You can't just go around making out with guys like him. People notice. I finally managed to pry my lips apart, but when I spoke, the words sounded like whispers.
Navid,
I said, trying really hard not to have a heart attack.
What are you talking about?
Navid looked suddenly confused. He was staring at me like he wasn't sure if my panic was real. Like he didn't know if I was only pretending to act like I didn't know how on earth he'd found out I'd kissed someone for the very first time today.
Cars, he said, have windows.
So what?
So, he said, irritated, people saw you two together.
Yes, I said. I understand that, but who cares?
I was nearly shouting at him, my panic transforming too quickly into anger.
Why would anyone care? Why would anyone tell you?
Navid frowned at me, hard. He still couldn't seem to decide whether or not I was screwing with him.
Do you even know anything about this guy? He said. This Ocean kid?
Of course I do.
Then I don't know why you're so confused.
I was breathing too hard. I wanted to scream.
Navid, I said carefully, I swear to God if you don't tell me what the hell is going on right now, I'm going to kick you in the crotch.
Hey, he said, and cringed.
There's no need to get violent.
I don't understand, I said,
and I really was shouting now.
Why would anyone give two shits about who I do or don't decide to kiss? I don't know anyone at this school.
Kid, he said, and suddenly he laughed.
You don't have to know anyone at this school. It's enough that he does. Your boyfriend is kind of a big deal.
He's not my boyfriend.
Whatever.
And then panic creeping up my throat, squeezing.
What do you mean,
I said,
that he's kind of a big deal?
He's like their golden boy. He's on the varsity basketball team. And I had to sit down right there, my head suddenly spinning. I felt sick, legitimately nauseous. I didn't know anything about basketball. I didn't care about sports generally. I couldn't tell you shit about who did what with the ball, or how to put it in a net, or why it was so important to people that it did. But I'd learned one important thing about this school when I first got here. They were obsessed with their basketball team. They'd had a banner season the year prior, and were still undefeated. I heard it every day over the morning announcements. I heard the constant, almost daily reminders about how the season was starting in just 2 weeks, that we should remember to support our team. We should make sure to attend local and away games. We should show up to pep rallies in school colors, because school spirit was a thing, apparently. But I never went to pep rallies. I'd never been to a school game. Not ever. Not at any school. I only ever did the things I was absolutely required to do. I didn't volunteer. I didn't participate. I never joined the freaking Key Club. Just today, I'd gotten an email reminding me that in 15 days, on the day of the first basketball game of the season, everyone was supposed to dress head to toe in black. It was the school's idea of a joke. We were supposed to be pretending to attend the funeral of the opposing team. I thought it was ridiculous. And then... Wait, I said, confused. How can he be on the varsity team? He's a sophomore. Navid looked like he wanted to slap me upside the head. Are you serious right now? How is it that I know more about this guy than you do? He's a freaking junior. But he's in two of my... I started to say and cut myself off. Ocean was in my AP bio class. I was the one who was out of place there. I was actually a year ahead. Normally AP bio was for juniors and seniors. The other class, Global Perspectives, was an elective. Only freshmen weren't allowed to take it. Ocean was a year older than me. This would explain why he seemed so certain about college when I'd asked him about it. He'd talked about choosing a school like it was a real thing, something to worry about, even. College was coming up for him. He'd be taking the SATs soon. He'd apply to schools next year. He was a basketball player. Oh, my God. I fell back, supine on the scuffed floor of the dance room, and stared up at the recessed lighting. I wanted to disappear. Is it bad? I said, and my voice sounded scared. Is it really bad? I heard Navid sigh. He walked over to me, stared down. It's not bad. It's just weird, you know? It's good gossip. People are confused. Damn it, I said, and squeezed my eyes shut. This was exactly what I hadn't wanted. 21. When I got home that day, I took comfort for the very first time in the fact that my parents never gave a shit about my school life. They were so oblivious, in fact, that I honestly wasn't sure my dad even knew where my school was. My coming home an hour late from a Harry Potter movie, now that was something to lose their heads over. But to imagine that my American high school might actually be scarier than the mean streets of suburbia, this leap seemed somehow impossible. I could never get my parents to care about my life at school. They never volunteered for anything. They never showed up to school functions. They didn't read the newsletters. They didn't join the PTA or help chaperone school dances. My mom only ever set foot on campus to sign the papers for my registration. Otherwise, it just wasn't their thing. The only time they'd ever taken an interest was right after 9/11, when those guys pinned me down on my way home from school. Navid basically saved my life that day. He'd shown up with the cops just before those dudes could bash my head into the concrete. It had been a premeditated incident. Someone had heard them talk in class about their plans to come after me, and tipped off Navid. The cops never arrested anyone that day. The police lights had scared the guys enough to back off. So when the officers got out of the car, I was sitting on the sidewalk, shaking, trying to untangle my scarf from around my neck. The cops sighed, told these two assholes to stop being stupid, and sent them home. Navid was furious. He kept telling them to do something, that those guys should be arrested, and the cops told him to calm down, that they were just kids, that there was no need to make this so dramatic. And then the officers walked over to me, where I was still sitting on the ground, and asked me if I was okay. I didn't really understand the question. "Are you okay?" one of the cops said again. I wasn't dead,
and for some reason I figured that must have meant I was okay, so I nodded.
Listen, he said. Maybe you should reconsider this whole get-up.
He gestured vaguely at my face. Walking around like this all the time? He shook his head, sighed.
I'm sorry, kid, but it's like you're asking for it. Don't make yourself a target. Things are complicated in the world right now. People are scared. Do you understand?
And then, do you speak English?
I remember shaking so hard I could barely sit straight. I remember looking up at the cop and feeling powerless. I remember staring at the gun holstered at his hip and being terrified.
Here, he said, and offered me a card. Call this number if you ever feel unsafe, okay? I took the card. It was a number for Child Protective Services. That wasn't the beginning. This wasn't where my anger started. But it was a cauterizing moment I would never forget. When I came home that day, still so stunned I hadn't figured out yet how to cry, my parents were transformed. It was the first time they'd ever seemed small to me, petrified. My dad told me then, that day, that maybe I should stop wearing my scarf. If maybe it would be better for me that way, easier. I said no. I told him I was fine, that everything would be fine, that they didn't need to worry, that I just needed to take a shower and I would be fine. It was nothing, I said. I told my parents I was fine because somehow I knew they needed the lie even more than I did. But when we moved away a month later, I knew it wasn't coincidence. I'd been thinking about it a lot lately, all the bullshit, the exhaustion that accompanied my personal choice to wrap a piece of cloth around my hair every day. I was so tired of dealing with this crap. I hated how that crap seemed to poison everything. I hated that I cared at all. I hated how the world kept trying to bully me into believing that I was the problem. I felt like I could never catch a break. I paused before pushing open the door to my house, my hand frozen on the handle. I knew my mom was cooking something because the crisp, cool air was infused with a delicious aroma. It was that perfect, perfect smell that would always take me back to the specific feeling of being a child, the scent of onions being sautéed in olive oil. I felt my body relax. I stepped inside, dropped my bag, and sank into a seat at the kitchen table. I leaned into the familiar comforting sounds and smells of home, holding on to them like a lifeline, and I stared at my mom, who was unquestionably a human being of the superior variety. She dealt with so much. She'd survived so much. She was the bravest, strongest woman I'd ever known. And though I knew she faced all kinds of discrimination on a daily basis, she only rarely discussed it. Instead, she pushed through every obstacle, never complaining. I aspired to her levels of grace and perseverance. She worked all day long and came home just before my dad did, cooked up an amazing meal, and always had a smile, a slap to the back of the head, or a devastating piece of wisdom to impart. Today I wanted desperately to ask her what to do, but I knew I'd probably get the slap to the back of the head, so I reconsidered. Instead, I sighed. I looked at my phone. I had 6 missed calls and 2 text messages from Ocean. Please call me. Please. And I'd already looked at them about 100 times. I kept staring at his words on my phone, feeling everything all at once. Just the memory of kissing him was enough to make me flush. I remembered him, every inch of him. My mind had recorded the moment in surprising detail, and I replayed it, over and over again. When I closed my eyes, I could still feel him against my lips. I remembered his eyes, the way he'd looked at me, and my skin felt suddenly hot and electric. But when I thought about the fallout, the weirdness I would inevitably be forced to deal with at school the following day, I felt awful and embarrassed. I felt so dumb that I hadn't known his place in the hierarchy of this stupid school. I felt dumb that I'd never asked him what he did in his free time. I felt suddenly frustrated that I'd ditched all those pep rallies. I would have seen him when they paraded all the basketball players out into the center of the gym. I would have known. But I was now knee-deep in metaphorical cow shit, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't think ignoring Ocean was an option anymore. In fact, I'm not sure it ever was, but I also didn't know if talking to him would help either. I'd already tried that. Today, in fact,
That was the whole plan. I thought I was being mature by ending things in person. I could have been. In fact, would have preferred to have been.